It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. Real Talk Radio is a ministry of Live the Life Ministries based here in Jacksonville, Florida, where our ministry started in 1998, and our passion and heart was to help people become healthy, mature individuals so they can have healthy, loving, mature relationships, marriages, and families. We know through social science research that as the family goes, so goes communities. Churches, organizations are only as strong as the families are, and the families are only as strong as the marriages are. And we know through social science research that all of the major social issues we have can be linked back to high divorce rates and broken families. And so our ministry exists to strengthen marriage and families through teaching to the culture and to the church healthy relationship skills so that people can create the relationship that God wants them to have to live the abundant life. That's right. So they can live out the abundant life. You're going to notice a lot of Christians today are not living the abundant life. They're angry. They're resentful. They're bitter. They're in conflict. They live in fear. That's not the abundant life, you see? And we want people to live out the abundant life heart so they can have an abundant life marriage so the kids raised in those homes can actually see the heart of Father lived out by their moms and dads. And so if you have a question or comment, feel free to reach me at our email, realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. And you can reach us on Facebook, Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick. I think it's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. You can reach us there. And so what we're going to talk about today for a little bit here is the idea of inspiration. Have you ever met people who really don't have a motive in life and they're not inspired for anything? You know, they just kind of exist. They just kind of, I mean, it's like there's no inspiration in them. They don't know how to get inspired, and they're not inspired by anything. The inspiration's about passion, you see. What inspires me is seeing people healed from broken marriages so they can create the family that they want and the marriage that they want. You see, we all need to be inspired by things, but we need inspiration from within us as well, all right? And so what I want to do today is just have a conversation around what are some things that you can do to get inspiration, to find what inspires you, all right? It's what entrepreneurs do, these things. Why not we in the church do these things as well, you know? I mean, think about it right now. If you're listening to me, how many of you are inspired to live lovingly, more maturely? How many of you are actually inspired to live the abundant life heart? How many of you are inspired to be more compassionate? How many of you are actually inspired to be more patient? How many of us are inspired to be more kind? You got it? Those are the things I think we should be inspired for. I get an opportunity to be more patient. Yes, wonderful. Why? Because God is love and love is patient. So the more that I'm patient, the more I'm like God, because God is patient, because God is love. That inspires me. That inspires me. And when that person cuts you off in traffic and you want to run up alongside them or give them the middle finger salute or whatever you do, you speed up and you stare at them. And you know what I'm talking about, sir or ma'am, who does that, who has the Jesus loves you bumper sticker on your car. What if you were inspired to say, you know what? Let them go. That person didn't wake up today. I get inspired to be kind. And kindness wouldn't do those kinds of things. Kindness just says, hey, go on. You know, you didn't wake up to do that to me this morning. You're just doing what you do because that's who you are. You see, what if we were inspired to live that way within ourselves and towards others? So what I am going to do today is I went and did the research. And I've kind of studied, what do people do to gain inspiration. And so I want to talk about some things that we can begin to do. If you do these things, it helps increase inspiration. Now, you got to know what it is that inspires you, right? What are you going to be inspired for? Some people are inspired towards sports. Some people are inspired towards video games. One thing that I'm inspired by is my marriage and creating a stronger us for me and Luella. I'm inspired by that, and I live for that. I didn't grow up in a healthy home. There was broken families, a broken marriages, and on both my parents' part. And I had no clear example what a loving, mature, really connected relationship looked like, and neither did Luella. But we were inspired to go learn it and figure it out and create it. And because that inspiration was in us, and in particular me, and I went and I sought the teachers, the mentors, I read the books, I went to the trainings, I did the personal development, I did those things so I can help. As far as I was concerned, in terms of us, takes two to make an us and one to kill it, I was inspired to be that person, and I worked hard to become that. So then, let's get kind of right into this for our short time today and talk about what are some things that a person can do to find inspiration. Things that they can do to find inspiration. Number one thing I can think of, write everything down. Your good ideas, your bad ideas, your laughable ideas, random musings or dreams. Write them down. Many years ago, I was at my dear friend's house up in Wisconsin, and I was doing a marriage intensive with a couple. And it was on the lunch break, and I was sitting there in this beautiful green chair that I love, that if they ever get rid of, I told them they have to will it to me. I love this chair. It's what I use do the intensive out of when I go to their house up there in Wisconsin. But I was sitting during this lunch break, and I was just kind of pondering, looking out the window. And I had this vision in my head. It was so profound, I knew I had to draw it and write it down. So I grabbed a piece of paper, and I'm not an artist, but I wrote down what I saw in my head. It just, that vision. That was many years ago. No idea that that little graphic, what I called way back then, the four protective walls of us, would actually become the whole relate well paradigm. And Relate Well is the new program that my brother and I have been working on as we seek to take relationship skills, education to the culture and in the business world in particular. You write it down. You may have something that comes in your head. Write it down so you don't forget it. All right? Write it down. A lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, they write those things down. You go, what do you do with that? Put it aside. For all you know, God's going to bring that back to you, all right? So one thing you can do is write it down. Number two, read. All great people read a lot. Matter of fact, a lot of people read, all right? But not all people are readers. But I do know this. Every leader is a reader, all right? A lot of people read, but not all people are readers. But every great leader is a reader. They are always preparing their brain. They're reading. They're reading blogs. They're reading papers. They're reading inside their industry, and they're reading outside of their industry. So many people only want to read in their box of theology. Folks, go read from other people. You might learn something from Catholic theologian. By means, a lot of evangelicals quote them, Augustine, et cetera. They were all Catholics, right? And so there's great theologians out there. Read outside. Read. I read in many different areas. I read geopolitics. I like a lot of crime novels. I read people I agree with, and I read people that I don't agree with. I read people but I become a great reader. Why? Because I learn something. I also learn how the enemy thinks. I learn how the people I disagree with, I learn how they think, all right? So read, expand your knowledge base, all right? Inspiration comes from reading. Also, if you want some inspiration, find a new surrounding. It's like some entrepreneurs, they work from home. But guess what they do? They'll go to a Starbucks, they go to this place, or they go to that place. They get out of that place and they go to a different place for inspiration. I remember I was talking to an Aflac guy, and I've not confirmed the story, but I don't think he would have lied to me. I said, "How did you all come up with a duck?" And he said, "The story is that the Aflac had hired a marketing company to come up with something for them, and they are struggling with it, and two guys, or a guy and a girl, whatever, they're near New York City, they went to lunch. They went to lunch, and they're sitting on a bench there, I think in Central Park, wherever it is, and they're sitting there eating lunch, and some duck from the lake comes walking up and went, quack, quack. And one of them laughingly said, "That sounds like Aflac." And there it was, quack, quack, Aflac. And we all know the Aflac commercials this day. Sometimes what you're looking for isn't even, it's like the most obscure place. It was down by a lake eating lunch when a duck walks by, and we all know the Aflac duck and love the Aflac duck like you do the little gecko, all right? So find some new surroundings. Put yourself around different people. Broaden your horizons. Some people only like to live in their little corner of the world. Luella and I kind of started to learn from our children. Our children, they've been all over Europe and the Middle East. Trey, my oldest, has been throughout Asia. I mean, he's been in Taiwan, Thailand. He's been in Cambodia, lived in Indonesia. He's traveled all the Indonesian country. You see, and so we went to go visit Trey in Indonesia. We visited Bali and different places around there. We went to the Middle East to visit our other two kids that live over there. And as we have broadened our horizons, we became more inspired about Arab people and Arab culture. And we became more inspired about loving people differently and understanding how they think so we can love them better. Broaden your horizons. Traveling is a great way to do that, okay? The people up north are culturally different than people in the south. The people in the Midwest are a little different than people here in Florida. Broaden your horizons. Learn from others. You can get inspiration from seeing new ways of doing things and different ways of doing things, all right? Another way that you can get inspiration is ask. Ask. Get people's perspectives on things. You see, talk to people. You know, you can use Facebook. You can use Twitter. You can use Reddit. There's a lot of things to get different people's perspectives on things. And in doing things, getting people's perspectives on things, you learn something you didn't know. You didn't know it goes, "Oh, I never saw it that way." And next thing you know, an inspiration happens inside of you. You get it, right? You just get it. Another thing you can do is go do something physical. Sometimes your mind gets kind of bogged down, and sometimes getting out doing something physical, like cleaning a yard or building a house, whatever it is you want to do. You know, I'm not a house builder myself, but go do something physical. Sometimes that kind of clears your brain up, you know, and just clears away all the distractions, that kind of thing. By the way, when you're talking about clearing distractions as well, sometimes you got to get away from technology. You know, what I do sometimes, I get away and I go watch a movie or something and let my brain kind of go in this neutral state. And I can't tell you, when I'm watching a movie or something, sometimes I get this idea or realization of something because it comes, like I got past all those things, all right? all right. Now we'll get back to the show. Question all assumptions is another thing, all right? Question all assumptions. Folks, just because you see something being the way it is doesn't mean it is. One of my great teachers and mentors who I deeply, deeply respect this day is Dr. Jerry Mungadzi. Now, Jerry grew up in the bush of Zimbabwe. He's African and lives in the Dallas area, and I worked for him for a number of years. He taught me much about dissociative disorders and how the brain works and how trauma affects the brain. And he taught me a lot about myself and the demonic world and Christian theology as it relates to those kinds of things. He was one of the greatest teachers I have and still love and respect this man to this day, all right? But one of the things he always said to me is two words. He always said to me that stay with me to this day, and the two words are these: think differently. Think differently. Don't assume what's in front of you is what it is. It might be something different. Don't assume. Question the assumptions. Check them out. And that was the greatest gift he gave me, because some people live in a little, small, what I call dot of knowledge, when there's a massive world of knowledge out there. And what Jerry taught me was question assumptions. All right. Turn some of your assumptions on their head. You might find inspiration in that some of your assumptions may be wrong and based on a lack of total information. All right. Now, be open to all sources. You know, inspiration comes in a lot of different sources. All right. Entrepreneurs know this. All right. Be honest. If you're a business owner, some of your low-level employees have just as much knowledge. If you're a pastor, that does not mean you know everything, and you might learn something from some of your members. You know, one of the things that we see today among a larger pastors are this teaching that they're above being questioned, that they're above criticism. Jesus never saw himself as above criticism. He even says in John 10, hey, if you don't believe me, can you at least trust what I do? He reasoned with you. He did not demand blind obedience. Be open to all sources. You might learn something from a donkey. You might learn something from a place you never thought you would learn it. You see, inspiration comes from many different areas, and it might come from someone who's below you in economic status, but be open. And this is a big one. Sometimes inspiration comes through failing. That's right. Sometimes it comes through failing. Some of our greatest hurts, some of our greatest failures can set the stage for some of our best successes. I think it was Steven Tyler in his song by Aerosmith. He says, you've got to lose to know how to win. And there's a lot of truth in that. Entrepreneurs, what makes them different than most people is basically this. They understand that, yes, in business I'm going to fail, but they understand this truth by Napoleon Hill, that in every failure is the seed of an equivalent success. Where most people fail and they quit, which is why they're a failure, these folks go, no, okay, I messed up, I failed, what can I learn from it? What's the nugget of truth I've got to learn? They then get inspired by that nugget of truth they learned, and they go apply that into the next stage. You see, they don't quit, they keep moving. So sometimes failure becomes a great inspiration. I know that when I walked through a really rough time in 2004 and 2005, that was inspiration for me to look at myself. That was inspiration for me to heal some parts of myself. It was inspiration for me to not be some of the parts that I was, some of the parts that I had, and to transform those parts, you see. And because of that, I've developed the guy I am today, you see. And so it's okay to fail. Just don't quit. Just keep moving, all right? Which goes along with having some quiet time for yourself. And in the Christian world, quiet time basically means that the most people, at least, you know, read your Bible. Folks, sometimes it's just sitting and being still. Just being alone with yourself and the Lord. Concentrating on your breathing and what's around you. Becoming very attuned to the outside world, but also the internal world, so you can hear the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get so busy doing, we don't know how to listen to hear the Spirit. And so sometimes just having a time to get away and be alone to yourself, to think, to reason, to consider, and literally if you have the Holy Spirit in you, to listen to the Spirit. And that to me is very powerful. So have those times, just get away. Maybe it's 10, 15 minutes. You close the door to your office and you just pray and ask the Lord and then sit and listen, okay? Evaluate your goals, you know. Maybe your struggle for inspiration is symptomatic of a deeper issue. Maybe it's because you're not going in the right direction, or your efforts are being taken off goal, all right? Maybe you're chasing, you know, as they say, you're chasing a route you don't need to go, all right? And so evaluate your goals. Make sure your goals keep you focused, to keep the inspiration. And this one's going to sound interesting. But study history. Study history. Study the people of history. What have other people learned? Trace the creativity of great minds. Learn from others who've walked the path ahead of you. Don't assume that you have to force the path yourself. There's a great Chinese proverb that says this, and if I get it right, but here's the essence of it. If you want to know what's in the road ahead of you, ask those coming back, all right? They've been down that road. They've learned things. They've understood things. So when you study history, we tend to make mistakes from the past because we haven't learned from the past, you see? And so study history. I love to read history. Sadly, though, you also see where history repeats itself because people haven't learned from history. So study history. Read great minds, okay? You learn some things that you didn't know, all right? And another way to get inspiration is to never stop learning. Never stop learning. Read scholarly articles, all right? And I'm going to say this. I have been inspired by reading people that I disagree with. I'm going to say that again. I've actually been inspired by reading people I've disagreed with because I listen to what they say and I'm like, oh my gosh, no wonder they're saying what they're saying. And I get inspired even more for what I want to accomplish and do. You see? And I've learned by reading the people I disagree with why they think the way they think. So that inspires me to know how to deal with them and communicate with them and communicate around them. But if I did not know how they think, I couldn't do that. I remember from history, George Patton was once asked, you know, how did you know how to defeat Rommel, the desert rat, the great German general? And essentially, Patton said, I read his book. He read the guy's book. He knew how he thought because Rommel wrote a book on using armor in warfare. And Patton just knew how he thought, you see. So never stop learning, all right? Another one is look at your own life. Look at your own life. Sometimes your own frustrations, your own anger, resentments, but stop your own ability to be inspired, all right? So if you encounter problems, deal with them. Forgive what needs to be forgiven. Get forgiveness if you need it and move forward. Don't live in fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All right? All right? And sometimes, this is a really interesting one to get inspiration. Be the dumbest person in the room. You get that? Be the dumbest person in the room. It is best that you help others become. It is best that you become the dumbest person in the room. Why? So you can learn from other people. But if you're the kind of person that has to educate everybody else and you think you know it all, when you think you're the smartest person in the room, no one's really going to open up and talk with you because you think you know it all. All right? And so, keep pushing. Keep pushing. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. All right, keep pushing and moving things forward. There's another way to gain inspiration. All right, so those are some thoughts I have for how to be inspired, how to move things forward, and how to keep things happening in your life so you can be inspired. Now, as I wrap up the day, what do you want to inspire you? Does anything inspire you? What are you going to be inspired for? See, I'm inspired for marriages. I'm inspired for families. I'm inspired to love well. I'm inspired to be a better man. I want to be more mature in 5 years from today than I am today. And gratefully, I'm more mature today emotionally than I was 10 years ago. Got it? I'm inspired to always grow and mature. I'm inspired to help people grow and mature. And the way I do that is becoming healthy and mature. And then I go mentor people who want to be mentored, right? It inspires me to mentor people. Why? Because when I get to mentor people, I get to see them change. I get to see them grow. I know that that person is going to represent Father's heart to a world around them in a very different way. What are the things that you want to be inspired for personally? Maybe you need to be inspired to lose the weight, i.e. me. Okay. Maybe you want to be inspired to stop drinking. Maybe you need some inspiration to change some bad habits. Maybe you want to be inspired to adopt some better habits in your life. All right. What are you going to be inspired for in your relationships? Do you want to be inspired to be a more loving person, a more kind person, a more patient person? All right. Is there a purpose and a path in your life that God has placed on you and wants you to fulfill, but your own thinking, fears, insecurities, self-doubts keep you from the inspiration? Go deal with those things. Go fulfill what God has called you to be. Why? He's calling you to be that so he can use you to serve others. And let me tell you something. I've learned this. To serve others is one of the best ways to live life. I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me and said, hey, Rick, you do not know how much. And I'm humbled by it. But I'll tell you, at the same time, it's like, Father, thank you. Thank you that you would be willing to use a broken, wounded vessel like me to encourage, to support, to strengthen, and inspire people to have the marriage they want, the family they want, to be the person that they want to be. Wow. That, to me, is just inspirational in itself. It's like, Lord, how much you love me because you would actually use me, a broken, wounded vessel, to serve others. Wow, thank you for loving me enough to be able to do that for you. You see? So what areas of your personal life do you need to be inspired by? What areas do you want to need inspiration for your relationships? Maybe you need to be inspired to fix a problem you have with a child, one of your children. Or maybe you need to be inspired to do something to fix something with your spouse and to become something better in those relationships. Maybe the Lord wants to inspire you to do something different in your business or in your ministry. You know, all of us are ministers, not the paid people. In the body of Christ, all Christians, you have the Holy Spirit, you are a minister. And wherever you go, you are in ministry. If you work at McDonald's, you're in ministry McDonald's. If you work at Burger King, you're in ministry Burger King. If you work at Dillard's, you're in ministry at Dillard's. And if you work at a church setting, you're in ministry at a church setting. You have great impact for the gospel when you understand that whatever you do and wherever you go, you're in ministry. How do you be inspired to minister wherever you are? For the Father, who sent his Son to die on the cross for you and loved you so much, he put his Spirit in you.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An Army major says he's rejecting President Nicolas Maduro and throwing his loyalty behind the opposition effort to bring aid into Venezuela. Major Hugo Parra Martinez was the fifth member of the armed forces to abandon Maduro's socialist government today. A lieutenant and three sergeants of the National Guard surrendered earlier to officials in Colombia with raised hands. Opposition leader Juan Guaido says the first shipment of humanitarian aid did cross into Venezuela from Brazil. The parents of a Covington Catholic high school student suing the Washington Post now for allegedly abandoning basic journalistic ethics in a rush to vilify their son after a confrontation with a Native American activist that went viral last month in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Meanwhile, the White House press secretary Sarah Sanders said in an interview with the Salem Radio Network that there's a lesson to be learned from the way the media mishandled that story. This is SRN News.
For your Saturday afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of showers, high 82. Tonight, more showers, expect the low 64. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and breezy, again a chance of showers, high 81. On Sunday night, becoming partly cloudy, low 50. Monday, we'll start out the work week sunny and cooler, high 66. Tuesday, mostly sunny, only a slight chance of showers, high 71.
People are catching on to the five love languages.
We've been talking with Dr. Gary Chapman, the author of the mega successful book, The Five Love Languages.
The need to feel loved by the significant people in your life is the deepest emotional need we have.
So often we love people the way that we want to be loved, but we all receive love different ways.
My boyfriend and I read it together, and we quickly realized like we are the exact opposite on the love language scale because we took the quizzes.
I'm in the business of building relationships. If books happen to come, that's all right. I'm not dedicated to writing books. I'm dedicated to building relationships.
I'm on with the Gary Chapman. I mean, love languages, and I'm right here in the middle of it. I don't believe this.
Words of affirmation!
A spiritual mismatch, a husband with trust issues, singles issues, and a widow who doesn't want a date. It's all coming up on Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman.
I have a husband who's not a cheater, but a betrayer.
My husband was cheated on in every other relationship he's ever been in.
He is very resistant to my going to church.
Now she's sleeping overnight at her boyfriend's house, tearing our relationship apart.
Welcome to Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Today, it's a Dear Gary broadcast for February as Dr. Chapman takes questions from listeners about a variety of topics.
Oh, variety is right. We have love language conundrums. Even a caller from India is going to join us today. So let's get the conversation started. Each week, we offer a featured resource. And this week, it's a book co-written by Dr. Chapman and Dr. Paul White, The Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. Gary, I always get something out of the discussions that you and Dr. White have. It's so practical, so down to earth, and really encouraging.
Well, Chris, I enjoyed working with Dr. White on this project. You know, for 20 years, he has been a psychologist working with businesses, and many of them family-owned businesses. And so we wrote this book together, taking really the love languages to work and trying to improve work relationships. We found out that 70% of the people who have a job say they feel little to no appreciation at work. And 64% of the people who leave a job and go to another job say they left primarily because they didn't feel appreciated. So we have had tremendous response to this book in the workplace. Major companies that have asked Dr. White to come in and speak to them, share this concept with them and their workers. If we can improve the climate, the emotional climate of the workplace, by expressing appreciation in a meaningful way, then we're going to have more productive employees. So, yes, I'm very excited about this book.
Well, the thing that I got in our conversation with Dr. White about a month ago was that this is not just for managers. You don't have to own the company or be the manager in order to get something. As in a lot of ways, this filters up from the workforce up rather than the top down.
Absolutely. You know, at first we thought about writing the book, especially to managers or supervisors, but then we realized, no, it's not necessary. It doesn't have to come from the top. In fact, it may be more effective if it doesn't come from the top. You know,
yes.
One employee reads it and says, oh, this is interesting. And they get their work group to read it and take the what we call the MBA inventory, Motivating by Appreciation inventory, so that everybody now knows the primary appreciation language of each person in their group and the secondary, and then the one that's least important, the one that really doesn't mean much to them. It can start at any level in a workplace.
Again, you can find that resource at fivelovelanguages.com, the five languages of appreciation in the workplace, fivelovelanguages.com. Now, you might be asking this Dear Gary program, how do I get my question answered? It's simple. Call us and ask a question. We might use yours next month. Here's our number, 866-424-GARY. Leave your message, make it as brief as possible, and turn down the radio or tell your dog not to bark while you ask it. 1-866-424-GARY. All right, our first question. Let's get controversial, Gary. This caller wants a topic addressed on the program, and he hasn't heard it talked about.
Yeah, Gary, I hope that one of these days your program, you'll designate a program to single people. There's some of us who are longtime single people that go through problems and relationship problems as Christians, and I hope that you'll discuss that. I have a whole list of things that have happened within the church that involve prejudice and discrimination and polite rejection just because we're single people. And I'm not bitter or anything like that. But this does go on within churches, and it is a problem for single people. So I hope that you'll one day maybe designate a program where people can call in or ask questions concerning Christian singles and the problems that we face every day until God brings us that one that he has for us. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate this call because I spent 10 years in our own church working with single adults a number of years ago, and I have great empathy for single adults, and I think that's a good idea. One of these days, we'll focus on single adults for the whole program. You know, I wrote a book specifically for singles. It's called The Five Love Languages for Singles, in which I take that love language concept and apply it to all of the singles' relationships. For example, their relationship with their parents. And many single adults have said to me, you know, I understand my dad a whole lot better after I read your book, on the singles book for love languages. And I realized that his love language is acts of service, because he would come over to visit me, and he always wanted to be doing something in my apartment, you know, fixing it up or painting or doing something. And I wanted just to have a talk with him. You know, my language was quality time. But now I understand why Dad wanted to do all that stuff. So I think not only this caller, but all the singles who listen to us would find that book to be very helpful, because I deal with how this applies to your parents, your siblings, your college roommates, if you have one, or other roommate, or how it applies in your dating relationships. I do have a deep interest and concern with trying to help single adults have good relationships. And the other book that really applies to singles who thinks they might someday get married, which is many of them, is the book Things I Wish I'd Known Before We Got Married. And when I speak on college campuses, I say the time to prepare for marriage is not after you get engaged. The time to prepare for marriage is now. I said, you may not even be dating, but if you ever think you might get married, you should be learning some things about marriage. So those two books, I think, share my heart for singles, and I really appreciate this call.
Yeah. And one of the other aspects that he talked about was specifically the church and the struggle of integrating in the church. When we have done programs about singles, we've always talked about that struggle and that the church can do more in that area.
Well, I think you're right, Chris, and there's no question about it. Many, many singles have said to me through the years, I just kind of feel left out. You know, the sermon illustrations are always about couples, and seldom do you have an illustration about a single. And that's because most of the pastors are married. They know the struggles of marriage. But I think the church at large needs to do much more, both in affirming single adults and giving them opportunities to work in the church. I mean, listen, single adults have wonderful talents and abilities. And if we give them opportunity, they can plug into ministry in the church and in outside the church, for that matter. So, yeah, I think he was making a valid point that the church really needs to hear today.
So that wasn't controversial at all.
Not for me.
Thanks for that suggestion. And if you have one, 866-424-GARY, you say, building relationships, well, here's what I need you to talk about, 1-866-424-GARY. Next up is a wife who feels betrayed by her husband's actions around other women.
Yes, I'm just wondering, after 40 years of marriage, I still have a husband who's not a cheater, but a betrayer, acting so much happier with other women, all other women, it seems, kind of like men where they just want their women to feel like they're just not much, but everybody else wonderful. This is just ridiculous. We keep waiting for this to change in men, and it doesn't. So we need some advice as to how the women can handle it better. Thank you very much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, Chris, it's interesting. I think what I hear her saying is that her husband always seems happier when he's talking to other women in a social setting than he does at home, and that there may be times in which he does things that at least she sees as flirting with other women. I can see how that would be very painful to a wife, because a wife wants to feel, and it should be true, that she is number one in his life. My first thought was, you know, I'm assuming you've talked to him about it. If you've been married 40 years, and I'm guessing the caller would say, many, many times I've talked to him about it, it doesn't work. And I understand that, because men and women do not always respond positively when their spouse points out something that bothers them in the relationship, because we have different perspectives on it. You know, chances are he doesn't see that as a problem. And even if she tells him it's a problem, he doesn't see it as a problem. But to the men who are listening, I would say we have to be sensitive to our wives. Every woman is an individual, and she has a history, and she has a personality, and she has emotions. And we must treat our wives as individuals. And maybe if it doesn't bother us, we need to hear what our wife is saying, and we need to take it seriously. because she is to be the number one person in your life apart from God. And when you commit yourself to God totally and say, Lord, I'm yours, if you're married, I think God says, okay, your first responsibility is to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And I think he would say the same thing to wives. You know, your responsibility is to reach out and seek to love and share and respect your husband. I'm empathetic with this call, and I think a lot of the problem is that because we have different backgrounds and personalities and emotions and struggles, we do see things differently, and we have a hard time understanding the other person. But that means we have to learn to listen empathetically. That is, try to put yourself in the shoes of the other person and look at the world through their eyes and try to understand why they think what they think and why they feel what they feel. And when you can come to say, you know, honey, I think I understand you. It's not something that I would ever have thought. It's certainly not a way that I perceive it, but I think I understand what you're saying. Now, how can we handle that? And you begin to look for solutions rather than telling them, well, that doesn't make sense, or you're reading things into it that's not there. Understanding rather than condemning what your spouse is saying. Now, that's the road to finding resolution.
Well, we have more great questions ahead, including a caller from India. That's coming up on Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman. Our featured resource today is The 5 Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. You can find out more about the book by Dr. Chapman and Dr. Paul White at 5lovelanguages.com. That's 5lovelanguages.com.
I love cheap date stories from chintzy people. One guy said, I'm so cheap, I don't buy cards. We go to Walmart, I read her my favorite, then we leave. A guy drove his girlfriend to a movie, then decided it would be cheaper if they just stayed in his car and watched Netflix. Well, thank goodness I haven't done this to my wife, but I've been chintzy with affection. I've cheaped out on quality time. Ephesians 5:25 tells husbands to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That doesn't sound like a cheap love to me. So let's open our wallets now and then. Don't do what Karen's date did. He took me to